You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When he's sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better. You need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good, but this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be, whoever you are. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was before I was me? I was you! You
man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
What's up, Square Pimpy Gang? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. I really mean it this time. We got a special guest, but first and foremost, Harry, what's popping?
You know me, Dante. I'm trying to keep these Gators down. Having a tough time doing it during election season. It's very tough. Very difficult keeping the Gators down. Stop the count.
Stop the count.
I've just been doing that all the last couple days. We're recording this on the day that, like 3 days after Election Day, so we still don't know who technically won, even though it's Biden. But all day long, I've just been going, stop the count.
We got. Let me introduce my guest. Get her in this, because let me give my heart. Well, like, I saw her around. We talked a few times in passing. Then we met. And then every time I see her, I get this kind of, like, you know what I talk about, Harry? I talk about that. I get that
nice
thing
warm
in my
feeling. You're happy to see somebody.
You know, I get her. But, and so I feel like we did a couple podcasts, and I think we're getting closer, and I really wanted to have, but I've been asking her, first of all, give it up for Dulce Sloan, yo. Give it up for Dulce Sloan. Thank you. Thanks
Hello,
for coming.
Hello, friends.
So I get this warm thing when I see her. She's just a sweetie, and I wanted her on. We have been talking about this for months, because I remember I told Harry about it, and I'm just happy that we finally got to do it.
I did it. I'm here.
You did it. You
we
did
out
it.
Here. We in here? We're always home.
We in the building.
We in the building. You in the parking lot. Oh, what a fun sentence.
So, I'm so happy to have you on. Dulce's funny as shit. And she don't give a fuck.
Thank you.
And
not usually.
No, you don't give. She has zero fucks to give.
When do you give a fuck, Dulce?
Oh, when my mama's involved. If you say something funky to one of my friends. Usually when you should give a fuck. You know, when someone's like out the side of their neck, where you're like, hey, man, that's my mom. They'll never find you. So things like that. It's usually when but other than that, it's like everybody's been so stressed out about this election and all these, you know, white people carrying on and people being so upset and stressing their dogs out. And I was doing an interview and they were like, so, you know, how you feel about the outcome, whether the outcome of the election could be and this, that, and the third. And I was like, they were doing an interview for like Entertainment Weekly. And I was like, yo, honestly, no matter who's president, the cops are still going to keep shooting black people. So
something that I have echoed every show, I think, Harry. I think I say that every
show.
Every
it doesn't
show.
Matter.
It's like, I want to, like, I can't, as yes, I'm concerned, but it's like, at the same time, I'm never going to, the probability of meeting the president of the United States is quite low at this point in my life. The probability of seeing a cop is what? Not if I step outside my house.
That's going to happen.
It's gonna happen. They just drive by here. because they drive by everywhere, because cops are fucking everywhere. So I've way more, there's more likelihood I will run into a police officer than I will the president of the United States.
Right.
So not to say what he does isn't important, but we put so much weight on who the president is, when really we should put way more weight on who our senators and who our reps are in the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
Those are actually the people that write and pass laws.
Yeah.
So we're so pressed about the president, but he'll sign off on stuff. He can veto it.
Yeah.
But
it's funny to watch, especially white people freak out, especially during the last election or during the last couple of years. Like, this is the worst it's ever been. This is the worst.
And for y'all.
Like,
Exactly. Exactly.
Y'all say it's the worst we've ever been. Like Clayton English, we were talking one day. He's like, I can never go back in time. Because every day forward is the best it's been for black people.
Yeah, it's bad. I say that all the time. I said it's better now than it's ever been. It's better today.
Yeah.
The day that George Floyd got killed, it was better than the day before. And that's crazy to think that, because of the fact that
bad it's been. Not right, because it's great, but because of how terrible, how much worse it's been historically.
I'm not saying it don't suck. I'm just saying, As in reference to what it was before, this is the best day in race. And the fact that we finally have consequences, and not a lot, but at least we're getting and that's where that's how the culture changes. The culture changes because there's consequences, and then the consequences lead to the fear of those consequences, and then the culture starts to change.
Right.
You know, it's so it's better. It's the work still sucks, but it's better than it's ever been. So,
I mean, I can go in any bathroom I want. I can go to college. I don't need a man to co-sign me getting a bank account. I got this apartment by myself. Like, there's so many things that are different.
Nice.
There's so many things that are better just as a woman and as a black person.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I look at, and the crazy thing is, like, if this pandemic, if we hadn't have been in a pandemic, all those
people wouldn't have
marched for George Floyd.
They wouldn't have seen it. They wouldn't have seen that. Everybody was home watching it.
They marched all over the world because of George Floyd.
Yeah.
And Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor. People marched in Ghana. People marched in Tokyo and Turkey and England and Australia.
Because everybody was sitting home watching it. Now, what's crazy is that I was just talking to somebody about this today, and I was like, Do you don't remember Amadou Diallo got shot 41 shots?
I remember him.
41 shots. That was in the 90s. That was. Yep.
And that man was literally doing nothing.
Nothing. He was they told him to put his hands up. He had a wallet in his hand, and they shot him because he had a wallet in his hand. 41 shots. He was hit by 41 shots. They shot more than 41 times.
Which is crazy, because if you're a police officer, they can't distinguish between a wallet or a gun. You don't need a gun.
Probably shouldn't be but
what gun do you notice in the shape of a square?
We were talking about the, you know, everybody was talking about what about the violence that they think is going to happen if Trump doesn't win? And I said this, I always say this to you, Harry. I go, don't nobody really want that smoke. Like, everybody want that smoke when you can bully somebody, or when you got the numbers, or when it don't cost you nothing. But time and time you've seen a lot of these Karens go, nigger, and then the community board kicks her off. She lose her job. She's a pariah in the neighborhood. Then she's crying on CNN talking about, I'm not a bad person. And blah, blah.
Yes, it's you like, are.
I'm not a racist.
It's like that white lady that got her ass whooped in the gas station when she was in a Native American girl's face.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Tell that girl, you need to go back where you came from. She's like, bitch, I'm Native American. You're the one that's the imposter. What are you talking about? And got in that girl's face. She got rocked.
She did get rocked.
It's their own fucking fault. I've never understood a group of people that aren't from here telling other motherfuckers to go back where they came from.
You know what's funny too is that even when you see the videos where the Trump people are like harassing people, they always got the numbers. And they're always going, go ahead, hit me. They're always trying to bait you to hit them. So that, and the reason why they're trying to, because they don't really want the smoke. I know shooters. They don't wait until you hit them first. No. If you really want it, you get. I said this to Harry the other day. I probably had about 30 to 35 street fights in my life. Mm. And they all happened because I punched the dude in the face.
Right.
Because I didn't give him a choice. So if you really about that smoke, like in all of these situations where there's consequences and you hate black people, that's fine. But are you willing to risk your residence, your livelihood, your job, your reputation, your comfort?
Are you willing to lose your Ford Focus? I don't think so.
Are you really ready for that?
And also, if they send you to jail, if you hate niggas, getting sent to jail is the last place you want to be. Because if you don't think them guards ain't gonna tell them, because people don't realize a lot of the guards in jail are black, depending on what city you're in.
Yeah,
black people in jail, there's black people working at the jail, and if you get arrested for some racist shit, you're gonna be like, hey, bro, just in case you want to know. He's getting locked up for calling somebody they can get into a fist fight at Walmart. Y'all have a nice day. Bye.
Especially, he's already famous racist.
Right, so they already know before he gets there.
They already know they already own him. So it's crazy, but that's the thing that changes the culture. Deuce, you ever dated any white dudes?
I've associated with the Caucasians a time or two.
I've had some necessary interactions.
I'm associated with the pink dick once or four times.
I might have had a few entanglements.
She answered that like it was a Senate.
I might have had a few Caucasian entanglements.
She answered that like it was a Senate hearing. Like, well, I mean, I know white people, but I don't.
I've met.
We've been in the same room.
Right.
I've managed a few white men.
I've been in the locale of a white dick, but I wouldn't. Say that we're close.
I would say that it was something. I've seen some pink Priuses. I've seen some pink Cadillacs. So, you know.
Fair enough. So let me ask you this: When you date a white dude, what up, killer?
Yo.
What up? Oh, it's the body. This nigga's light as fuck.
Hold on. Raise your mic up a little if you can, Andre. We could barely hear you, bud.
Can you hear me? I'm good.
Oh, there you are. Yeah, see, the microphone's working. Oh, you put them near your face.
You showing your mic off, son?
Oh, it's a great mic.
You showing your mic?
I can't hear shit. I know y'all cussing me out.
We can hear you. We can hear you now.
This nigga calling from a bunker. Did ISIS take you?
If you want to go to Man School YouTube page, you can see the video of this show because I go, Andre, turn your mic up, and all he did was grab it, which was like 3 feet away, and bring it to his face. I'm like, of course.
Nibble it in, nigga.
Uncle Stash, what's happening, baby?
You I got heard that one.
There you go.
I heard Uncle Stash. The rest of that shit I ain't get.
You looking real, real cocky with that microphone, son. You looking real cocky.
You know what I'm saying?
Looks like somebody Amazon order just came in. Okay.
hell yeah. Dude,
I'm on Circuit City microphone. You don't remember Circuit City, child.
There we go.
They were asking about
white people if Dulce has dated white people.
White people. And she said she had a few entanglements. Hmm. I was like, me and Dulce did a podcast and was lighting the white boys up.
A little bit. We were doing DeRosa and Corinne Fisher's show. They were doing a live podcast.
Election
podcast.
You know, I
go in hard, Dre, but Dulce took the point guard. I'm like, all right, I'll play power forward. I'm good. I'm going to back off. And Dulce was lighting them the fuck up.
She had the hot hand in this game. She had the hot hand.
What the hell, yeah.
She was on fire.
I was just telling facts.
Look, she would say something and then go like this. I just dropped another three on him. Another three. So I was asking her, being that she's so woke and so, like, how is it dating a white dude?
Am I woke?
Yeah, you woke.
This is the thing. I don't know woke One, I didn't know black people could be woke. I thought this was
Let me say this. That's probably the first time I've ever used the word woke in a sentence.
It felt like you didn't want it. It felt like you didn't want it.
You can feel it, right? I've never used the word woke in a sentence.
Dante completely chucked that shit out the window. This nigga gave up. Hey, wait, flag on play. Shorty, I don't know nothing, okay?
I think there's, well, black woke and white woke is different. I can say that I have dated a couple, a few white dudes. What were you trying to ask me about them?
I'm saying, but you are not woke or not, but I mean, look, you lived a black, you know what it is to be black.
Yeah, and, I grew up in Atlanta. I couldn't help it.
and in your skin. So that's a whole other thing. It don't even got to be Atlanta, but. So at times when I've dated white girls, right?
Troublesome.
There's always a blind spot. No matter how.
Was it awkward when they asked you to feel your pubic hair? They're like, can I touch it? Can I just touch it? What's that like?
She said my pubic hair feels like hamburger meat, then I was like, this might not work out.
I don't know. Okay, everyone has curly pubic hair. I think we have to all.
But they don't know that. That's what I'm saying.
Pubic hair is just how pubic hair works. Like, I think it just curls.
I don't. That's not true.
That's not true.
Some might be straight.
Not when you got a delicious Asian with that slick. Anyway.
Their hair is bone fucking straight. I would say it depended on how that dude grew up.
Yeah.
But
even when they've grown up in a certain way, you know what I'm saying? There's always that blind spot.
I mean, there's always blind spots with everything. Like, I grow up completely exposed to white culture because I live in America, but I don't know the names of all the bands they be talking about.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
It's too many bands.
Listen, I just learned the name of Freebird. I knew the song and Freebird, but I never knew that they went together.
You thought band was Freebird for a while, right? Dante, for like 30 years.
Oh, you've never been anywhere where somebody's been yelling, play Freebird?
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
It's become a cliche. Like, the saying, someone yelling Freebird.
Now it's ironic.
It's ironic.
People do it ironically.
You think about it, there's so many times that you've heard somebody say, or somebody's like, play Freebird. And you're like, I've never heard. Like, I don't think I've heard the song, but maybe one time. But it just depends. Like, if you're messing with, like, what I like to call a Tyler, which is just a male crystal. we all know what a crystal is.
Ditzy?
Huh?
Like Ditzy or something?
No, a crystal is a white girl who's only dated black dudes. She keeps an asymmetrical haircut. Mm. She has not too many rings on.
That's pre-Karen.
Yeah.
That's pre-Karen.
Right. This is your white girl who's always going to come bail you out of jail. She's a little thicker because she's too big for regular white dudes. But if she's in the South, she can still pull white dudes. The Southern white boys like a sturdy woman. Mm-hmm. So this is your white girl who's always dated black dudes, always down for black dudes. But she usually knows what she's been in enough conversations where she knows where the line is.
Okay.
Right. Like, she's gonna, you know, she's not gonna go too hard. She gets it. She's got mixed kids, so she's trying to be about it.
Right.
Her baby daddy ain't shit, but she don't talk about it all the time.
She don't turn Travell, your father. You gotta love your father, Travell.
She's doing one of those. she knows she can't use the N word, but she's been around for so long where if she did, you'd be like, I mean.
It doesn't have that sting to it. It doesn't have the sting.
Yeah.
Right. I'm gonna give her one because you know she does have three kids.
You even look at it like, what was the context?
What was the context? Right. So your Tylers are the cool male white version. Dude.
Yeah.
Right. Always has a fade. He loves the tall tees.
Plays ball.
Always has a fade, but bone straight hair. Sometimes might be curly. He's a white boy that wears cornrows, and you're like, all right, sure. This is not a fight I want to have.
Right.
He might sell weed. You're not sure, but he always has weed. but it's the same kind. And he always dates black women.
This sounds like Dulce's pitching a kid show that's based out of Atlanta. All the characters on like Atlanta Sesame Street.
But there's those white people where it's just like, you've been around black people long enough, you get you. We've been like, okay, you know you can't say nigga. We know you can't say nigga, but if you said it one time, you might not catch an ass whooping, right?
In context.
Like the context. What was the context? Like, right. If you said it arguing, you need an ass whooping.
Right, but
if
you're like, oh, but you ain't going to do that. He ain't going to do that anyway.
He knows because he knows better.
If he says
right.
it about another white guy and it throws you off, you're like damn.
This, you're like, oh.
That's a tricky one. That's a tricky
one. That's a tricky one, right?
See, that, and then see the eye she gave? That's as long as he brings that eye. Like,
Right. And then there's these other, and then there's, what I really appreciate is just, but it's still a culture vulture situation. Like, you're still trying to assimilate into us, right?
Now, it's either you grew up. Would you think that, or do you think that maybe you were the thing that he was chasing?
That's what I'm saying. It depends on the dude.
Right,
because
right.
if you're a white dude that just grew up in a black area, this is what everybody's doing, right? If you're trying to be this and you grew up in the suburbs and didn't have any black friends,
that's a fake-ass
situation.
Yeah,
so you just date. So a lot of times your Crystals and your Tylers will date black people to get closer to blackness, which I don't appreciate. If you grew up around us and you just grew up around us. And then there's just the white dude where it's just like, I'm a fucking khaki pants wearing white dude and you're pretty. I'm going to date you. You just happen to be black. So the ones that I usually talk to are the ones that are just like, because I used to mess with some dude who was a fucking surfer in LA, like just a regular ass dude. So you're just out here being your regular white self. And you just like, want to talk to me. Like, yeah, whoa. I mean, it wasn't that bad. But whoa. I think I kind of, because sometimes those white dudes that are just like them Tylers, they get too close to blackness. And they feel like you should automatically accept them into it. And I'm just like, hey, man, I'm not. I don't know who your sponsor is. I don't know who lets you. I don't know who's letting you do all of this.
I don't know none of your recommendations.
I don't know none of your recommendations. I don't know who brought you into this fraternity.
It's got to be difficult because you don't let that go because you're always on guard. I remember I was dating a black girl who, even though she knew I wasn't white, she still thought I was. She would keep asking
the
me
same
like,
way "I feel I don't trust you, nigga."
Oh my god, man! Damn it, Dante. Andre.
But the first dude I ever really talked to or kind of like dated or whatever was from El Salvador. So, because I grew up in a very Latino community, so that's right. who I grew up with. So, like my best friend, his family's my family. They're Mexican. So, like, I grew up with a lot of Latinos. So, that's who I was accustomed to being
so
around.
Let me ask you this. Growing up in around a lot of Latinos, like, you're a strong black woman. And I don't mean, you know, I don't mean that facetiously.
Right.
Is it also that you need that kind of strong dude that makes you feel like a woman, or are you just kind of like, you know, kind of taking it as it is? You know, am I asking that right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, because it's absolutely right. Because the thing is, people don't realize that alpha females want alpha males.
And big, in a big way. Like big dog style. Because you got to meet their energy and then go another half notch up.
Yeah,
it's a running joke between like me and like a couple of my homeboys where it's like, if I'm dating a dude, if he's ready to leave and he goes to me, yo, I'm ready to leave, and I don't feel moved to leave.
So it's a feeling.
I don't need to be moved with him. Because it's like.
Yeah, it's only going to be because you dating.
I don't give a fuck if this nigga's ready to leave. Because if one of my homeboys says to me, yo, I'm ready to leave, I'm just like, okay, cool. Like one of my homeboys, when he's ready to go, I'm ready to go. But I call him Papa anyway.
Yeah, Papa goes, I'm ready to leave.
Right. So he's like, all right, I'm ready. And I'll be like, oh, can I have 5 more minutes when he finishes conversation? Sure. But if he's hungry and he's ready to go,
let's go.
We are leaving.
Right.
I've been in the middle. He's like, I'm ready. I'm like, well, I'll see y'all later. But then like, where are y'all? I'm like, no, that's my home. That's Papa. I'm not sleeping with that man.
Yeah.
But the nigga said he was ready to go, so we leave it.
So
he's hungry. I'm out. And so
it's a feeling for you then, you say.
It's a feeling then because it's just like I was engaged to a dude years ago. Who was very much a beta male. Very much a beta male. And I had to get out of that. I don't want to run a man. I don't.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's so I'm going to give you the background of the how the show, the podcast is called Man School 202.
Right.
The whole point of it was that I always say this. I haven't said this in a while, so I'm going to repeat it now. Anytime there's a relationship and the relationship doesn't work, it's the guy's fault.
Interesting.
Now,
and I'm in my experience, that has been true. So go ahead.
But
proceed.
In a way, so even if you date some crazy bitch, right?
Interesting.
Like I say, crazy is only as crazy as you let it.
This is the thing about crazy. When a dude says to me they're dating a crazy girl, my first question is, was she crazy in the first few months that you knew her?
Of course she was.
Yeah.
Some of them say no.
No, that's bullshit.
Hold on. If a dude says to me this girl is crazy, my first question is, what did you do? He go, what? And I was like, was she nuts when you met her? Because real crazy don't hide. Real crazy can't hide.
No, it doesn't. But
what happens is because
my question is, because I'm always like, well, what'd she do that's crazy? It was like, well, you know, I was like, I cheated on her. And then I was like, wait. She wasn't crazy. You disrespected her and hurt her. And now she's asking you to be accountable. That doesn't make her crazy. It makes you an asshole. Like, stuff would happen with my ex, and I would be in the middle of doing, and I'm like, oh, this is crazy shit behavior. But it was because the fact that I was in an emotionally abusive relationship, so we were reacting.
The beta male.
No. This is different. No, he wouldn't have dared. He wouldn't have fucked. He couldn't have tried it. Yeah. Because he did try, and I shut it down. So, but this dude, no. This is another... Now this is more on an equal emotional level.
Yeah.
On that, no, he wasn't a beta male. But I was in the middle of an emotionally abusive relationship.
Right.
So we were stuck in a cycle where he would do something fucked up and I would do something fucked up. And it got to the point that if he did something fucked up and I didn't react, he would freak out and be like, why didn't you do what you always do? And I was like, because I was finally fucking listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to do this thing where he would ignore me. I think that's completely disrespectful, right?
Right.
And so, but he would ignore me on stuff that had nothing to do with me. If he was having a hard time with his family or money or whatever.
Yeah.
I had numerous conversations with him like, yo, just tell me. You don't even have to say what's wrong. Just go, it's not you or it is you. Or just go, right. It's not you.
Give me a heads up so I'm not.
Just give me a fucking heads up so I'm not acting like a crazy person. So he would do that shit, do that. And I'm like, fine, nigga. You want to fucking ignore me? Let's see how that works. So I would show up after nigga's job. Yeah, I knew everybody that worked at his job. And he used to fix my car. But I would show up. I would either roll up and I wouldn't come through the front or whatever. I'd go to the back because he worked at a dealership. Everybody knew me there because I met him through our jobs.
Right.
So I just rolled up to the bay door. Calling. Hey. I'm not loud. I don't have to do anything.
Right, just show up.
I don't
up.
Have to make noise. All I got to do is just pull up.
So let me ask you
that's some, that's some Sicilian mob style intimidation. You just show up holding a fish in your hand.
Right, or I would show up to the house. Now, he knows the only reason I started doing this is because he said the thing that makes him the most mad is when somebody pops up on him unannounced. Right?
So you're going to, so he gave you the key.
He gave me the keys to the fucking kingdom. And he knew what upset me the most was somebody fucking ignoring me.
Right, because
it's disrespectful and rude, especially if you ever had your penis inside my vagina, I'll burn your fucking house down. So
the big irony is that you guys were communicating with each other somehow, but you only listened to the evil details.
Right. But I also knew what his favorite foods were. He couldn't give a fuck. So
like, I'm ignoring you and I'm showing up. They're like, all right, yo, you guys are definitely communicating. I mean,
we heard
both
that
get it.
Much.
A therapist would say, like, good news is you're communicating. The bad news is you're passive aggressively trying to kill yourselves.
Right. And so there was one time where he pulled the shit, and this is probably fucking 2-3 years of me knowing him. He did this shit again, and so I didn't show. No, this wasn't even a year into me knowing him. This was like,
maybe, oh, you didn't show up.
I didn't show up. And he called me. So he called me like a few weeks later. He hits me up. He's like, what's up? And I was like, hello. And he asked me to come over. Sure. And I get to the house. We're sitting there hanging out. He goes, hey, why don't you pop up on me? What do you mean?
And that's when usually, you stabbed him in the eye with an ice pick.
Nah. I ain't gonna do all that.
And then he said, I love you.
Nope. He's only said in this. Me and him went back and forth from 2007 to 2015. I can count the number of times he said he loved me. Mm. And it was on one hand. So, but I was like, but he was like, why didn't you pop up? And I was like, what? He's like, why didn't you pop up? And I was like, because I was listening. Mm. You made it clear that you didn't want to talk to me and you didn't want to see me. So.
And then the relationship started to go to shit.
Oh, it was already too shit.
It was already done. Well, you know what's interesting?
But this was year two of knowing him. I'd already done other shit. He pulled some slick shit with me. I had his name saved in my phone by his occupation. And then if he called me, it was a voice recording of me going, this is a do not answer number calling you. So one day he said something disrespectful to me. And I left his house crying and got to my car. And I was like, wait a second. I'm going to go home and be upset. This nigga's been a good night's sleep. That's not going to happen. So I went back to the house. He let me in. We sat down. And I said, hey, call my phone. He said, what? I said, call my phone. He calls my phone. And he hears the voice of me going, this is a do not answer number calling you. And I said, what's my caller ID say? He said, my job. And I said, oh. He's like, why? I said, you know why. None of my friends know what your name is. All they know is you by this. Have a nice night. I went the fuck home.
God damn. That's some military general strategy of dropping a dirty bomb and moving on.
But guess what? I still kept talking to the nigga. This was year one of 2007 to 2015.
Did you come from kind of a toxic family life where you were kind of looking for that? So this was just something that you got accustomed to?
It was me not thinking. When I met him, I was 23. He was 25. He had his own house and two cars. And I grew up very Southern. And I went to a very Southern and very conservative college. And I went to a Southern conservative women's college.
I don't understand what you mean.
Meaning
that
this is the motherfucker you marry.
Okay.
He's 25. Okay. He's got his own house and two cars.
Yeah.
You trapped this man.
At 25, she's already an old maid at that point.
He was 25. I'm 23.
Right.
He's saying you got to get it done before 25.
I preferably would to get it done at least before 30.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah.
But because, man, remind you, I was engaged. I met him 2006. No, I met him January of 2007. I was engaged in the year before I knew him. I was engaged the year before, something like a year or two before.
To somebody else.
To the beta dude.
Okay.
So, and that was a good situation. Me and that dude met in February. No, me and that dude met in November. We were working together. Got engaged on Valentine's Day. November to Valentine's Day, that's not enough time to know somebody. And so a month after we got engaged, I broke off the engagement. And then a month after that, I broke up our relationship.
Right.
Because I started to know more things about him. And I was like, oh.
So
my kids would have been ugly. And that was.
How do you get to. Okay. So you have these kind of you have these norms. That, okay, this is the guy you married. He's got a business and two cars and a house. Mm-hmm. You have these things that are built into you. You're in this kind of toxic situation. Well, let me back up. One of the reasons why I said that it's always the guy's fault when the relationship, it's because no matter how crazy she is or not crazy or whatever, if you, for instance, you said that feeling that you have when a dude is ready to go, it's a feeling. You can't tell a alpha woman to be weak, to be less alpha. Like you can't, you hear your girlfriends will say, oh girl, he's a nice guy. Give him a chance. You might as well, if that's the whole thing, that's sharks dating penguins. You the shark. Ah! It's only a matter of time till you taste penguin and bite his head off. So you can only the podcast's focus was to make guys more confident, to make better versions of men, or make or have men understand that being the best version of themselves is where the confidence comes. You can't tell a strong woman to be weaker. She's just never going to respect this guy because she knows.
The dude I was engaged to was very weak and I wanted no parts of it. Right. Because I was making all the, I mean, I'm only fresh out of college. I'm making all the decisions, you know, all this other, there's so many other things that are wrong, you know, at home and all his life and all this other shit. And my kids would have been ugly. So I was like, I gotta get out of this. But like with him, when it comes to just me being the type of person that I am, it's like I was over at his house one time. He had a bunch of his friends there. And, I got up to get him. I was getting up to get something to drink. So I asked him if he wanted something to drink. And then I asked his friends if they wanted something to drink. Right. And I'm going to the kitchen and I hear his homeboy say, yo, how you get her to do that? He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, my girl don't get up. She don't ask my homeboys if they want anything. He said, that's just how she is. I don't make her do that. Right. Like when the recession hit in 08, he went from making, you know.
Now this is not the beta dude. This the other dude.
No, this is the mechanic dude. So
right, okay.
And so
now, did you do that to the beta dude? Like, if he had his friends, would you have like everybody? Is that just the Southern thing, or were you like?
I mean, he lived at his mother's house, so I couldn't do any of that. That lady was mad anytime I was in her fucking kitchen.
Okay.
Which is also some real old school Southern shit, but like. You know, when he...
The beta dude, was he black or white, out of curiosity?
He was black. Most of my long-term relationships have been black because, like, one of my best relationships that... I mean, just to finish, like, wrapping up with him, it's just, like, you know, I was very... He lied to me a lot because I would want to go out. He would say yes in my presence. And then when we weren't around each other, the story would change. And eventually we got to the point where it was just like, well, I really didn't, like, if you didn't want to do it in the first place, if you had no intention of doing it, you should have just told me no in person instead of not dealing with my emotions at the time. Cause now you got me mad because you lied to me, as opposed to I'm not mad. He's like, well, I was like, it's not about going out. It's that you lied. Mm. Give a fuck about going to a movie with your monkey ass. It's not the point. You lied to me. And so, I mean, and he's married now to some girl who's built like a can of soup, but it was never a good relationship because he wanted total control. I just wanted him to tell me the truth and respect me to a certain point. But he didn't want to do that because he wanted things to go only his way. And the only reason we went back and forth for so long is because he lived 12 minutes from my house, 15 minutes if I hit them two lights. So we worked at one point, we worked down the street from each other. We lived down the street from each other and we did love each other, but it just not ended up being not good. The best relationship I ever had was this dude, who I met when I was out with a girl I was friends with. He was working the security, Mexican restaurants in Atlanta and around Atlanta have a tendency to have like nightclub nights.
Mm.
So he was working the door at one of those places and I met him and, he's 6'4". His nickname was Baby Shug. He was going to jail for 7 years. He's the best boyfriend I've had in my life.
I feel like what? I know that guy. I don't know why. But I feel like I met him.
But he was a sweetheart.
You know what that comes from.
In jail for 7 years.
Well, not just that. There's a certain level of confidence that you have when you're not worried about people taking advantage of you. Like,
yeah.
Even on a physical basis, like when you're physically imposing, you can be in your own skin and be comfortable with it because you're not really like, if you're a little motherfucker running around like a little squirrel, like who's going to get me? Who's throwing rocks? What's that noise? You know, when you get a big nigga that's been in jail and, you know, been punched in the face, punched a couple motherfuckers in the face, and yeah. You go, I'm good. Like, because we can always turn that on.
And like, he niggas always want to fight. Yeah. Big niggas never want a problem.
Yeah.
Because
it's easy to flip the switch. We can right. do that all day. I don't want to do that. I can't. Can I get some apple pie? I want some apple pie.
Now, like, the thing with him, But the thing with him was, you know, he was on probation at the time when I met him. And, you know,
there's some black shit right now, Harry. There's some black shit.
So, I mean, just...
Hey, hold on. Let's not act like I don't know plenty of people have been on probation.
Other people have been on probation. I mean, so he went to jail, you know.
I got a brother right now who might be going back in.
You are a crazy Armenian, so nobody's That's worse true. Than you motherfuckers.
That's true.
Not my brother. My brother's good, you bastards. I mean, my mom prayed too hard.
Russians are afraid of Armenians.
Really?
Yeah, it's feast or famine with Armenians. There's just nothing in between.
Are they crazy like them Serbian cats? Because them
like,
Serbians.
Yeah, like but, Albanians. Like, yeah, they like that. It's all them
There's a reason a lot of them are in the UFC.
I don't know what happened when the Iron Curtain fell, but them niggas are wild.
They straight KGB with no job. Like you,
They hopped out in the tracksuits. Ready to fuck everybody up, dog.
You in the KGB, and then all of a sudden you ain't got no job and nowhere to take your skills. You can't work at the AT&T store. Something's gonna happen.
And then you got kids now, and you're like, oh, them kids got to be nuts too.
Yeah.
They're the only motherfuckers who have old man accents at 23. Like who? You don't know nothing about these Eastern European cats. Niggas are wild, dog.
Personally, I think it's all the chemicals from the cologne.
They are the niggas. They are the niggas of Europe. I'm telling you right now.
A lot of acrylic sweaters.
They love a tracksuit. They love tracksuits, sneakers,
and Cosby sweaters for some reason.
The thing is, the girls and them girls fight like men, dog.
Yeah.
These bitches stole. Hands, but you understand they've been working in fields for thousands of years.
Like, listen, you know, it was like that when I was a kid. Yo, don't even think a Haitian girls.
I'm from Miami. Don't fuck with them girls.
Haitian girls would fuck dudes up.
Them are Jamaican girls. Don't fuck
both titties out. Both titties just throwing one of the holding and swinging. Oh, that was.
I remember girls because them girls in Miami would take their shirts off before they would fight, like grown ass men. No lie. Them bitches would scrap. But I'm like,
you don't want to get your ass kicked by somebody who just removed their blouse. That is not a good look.
When I was, you know how in elementary school, girls grow up bigger than quick, faster.
Yeah.
So, man, them Haitian girls, nobody wanted to fight them. Dudes didn't want to fight them Haitian girls. Until maybe high school when, you know, your manliness starts kicking in. But when you all... You know, that like when the girls grow bigger, like in fourth grade or fifth grade.
Middle school and shit.
Oh, them Haitian girls.
But then the thing is, then them girls get to high school and they're gorgeous. Like a foot like this. Like, because they'd be pretty and all of a sudden you're like, this bitch is beautiful. Please stop throwing your hands. You're so pretty. Yeah. Stop fighting that boy. He's on the football team. Leave him be. You're gorgeous. Don't let that nigga fuck up your face.
Yeah.
He's a center back. But this dude was, and he had his moments where like he asked me one day, he was like, how come you don't ever sick me on nobody? I was like, what are you talking about?
that's a point.
Right.
He did it.
Because, like, I remember I was at a show one time. And this was, like, I was probably, like, two years in doing stand-up. So, like, starting to do, like, you know, more paid shows. And we were on some show in Atlanta, and there was a DJ nigga, and the dude kept hugging me. And I'm like, but it was, like, he was hugging me and holding on to me, and I'm like, hey, man, you got to get off me, dog. Like, you need to chill. He's like, oh, you cool, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, no, nigga, I'm not cool. Get off me, dog. And so he was like, you just being. And I'm like, no, I'm not being too much. You need to back up. Thank you. And so he finally got out of my face. And I just be like, nigga, it'll be me. You have to stop. You're making me uncomfortable. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just drunk. La, 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 la. And so... when, you know, I get off stage and he's standing there and he's like, you need me to talk to him? I was like, no. I don't want you to talk how you talk.
No.
I don't want you to talk how you talk. Because when you talk, because like the thing is, he works as a repo man and he worked at a fast food restaurant and he was a bouncer at a club.
Yeah.
So he was
in Atlanta fast food restaurant. You get like,
no, this is in Athens. This nigga works in the country.
Oh, jeez.
So this is country niggas, right?
That's where you could get straight razor.
Right. And so, and then with him, you know, his family, you know, he came from a family of gang. Yeah.
You know what it is too? It's also like my sisters used to do that. And then my middle sister, she would have like, she was not really close. So we never, and then she had this situation where this dude she was dating, the dude was like, she says he was stalking her, right?
Oh, that's so happening to me.
So now, but here, you don't know my sister. So, so she was.
The nigga's dead wrong, period.
No, you don't know my sister. Trust me. When I finish this, you're going to hear. So I said, look, so the dude was, got out of jail, ex-con, put together a little cleaning business, and he was cleaning the Staten Island ferries. So he had a little office, legitimate business, right? So the nigga also, she also told me the nigga had the penis pump, the one where you, the implant, the one where you pump. You grab your ball and you pump it up like the like Ewan's,
like a Reebok sneaker.
Yeah,
pump.
Like Reebok. They had
you could get
they had
built
a
in,
thing
yeah.
where it was built in, and you
I
had
mean,
like
no,
a little.
I've never heard of this.
A little. They had like a little, like a pressure pouch, right? And you get the erection, right? So. Anyway, but this nigga was a thug. Like, he was a thug. There was state penitentiary.
That's some Robocock shit right
sticking,
there.
Sticking motherfuckers up and shit like that.
A thug with a robo dick? Aww,
well, he got
man.
Shot. He got shot. He got shot. Couldn't get it, like, close in the Latin.
Well, something that affected the dick, probably.
Yeah.
There's so, a lot of
okay,
stuff.
Hit him in the crotch area. That's just rude. You could hit that man in the
stomach. So I told my sister, I was like, look, you know, you go back and forth with this motherfucker all the time. You want me to talk to him. Yes, I want you. I was like, look, you know, are you sure you want me to talk to him? I said, because it ain't gonna be good, right? She goes, I want you to talk to him. Now I'm going in knowing he's a con. I know he definitely got a ratchet on him or it's close by.
Right.
So I go to the office and I walk in, the girl says,
so you went to his job.
I went to his job. Walk his way, his reception's like, you can't go in there, busting the door. He's in there, la, 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 right? I see sitting on the desk. I just smack this nigga in the mouth. Pow, right? I throw him over the desk. I jump over the desk. I put my knee in his stick, and I'm choking this nigga, right? What the fuck? I was like, yo, leave my fucking sister alone. You understand me? He was like, but I love her. and I'm like, nigga, I don't give a fuck. Stop loving her and stop buying her roses, right? Okay. And in my mind, I'm thinking, why am I? This nigga's
why am I here?
He's
stop
in love with
taking
her
out to dinner every night.
Stop treating her nice and buying her red roses. Like, what the fuck? But this is what I'm saying is my sister's right. So. I go back, I go, look, it's done, right? So my sister, I didn't see her. So all of a sudden, my sister's calling me around Thanksgiving. This happens maybe June, July, August. My sister's calling me. We don't talk. We ain't close. She's calling me. She's calling. My mom at the time was like, you know, your sister calling you. She keeps saying she's trying to get in contact. I'm like, I ain't talking to that bitch. Whatever, right? Finally, I go to my mom. I go, yo, what's up? She go, oh, she's back with him.
Cool, 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 cool.
She's back with the dude.
Right.
Now, in fact, this was right before Thanksgiving. So, and he's coming to Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow.
He wants to know if I'm okay with bringing this nigga. And I was like, why? I go, why would you put me in that position and then you back with this
because
motherfucker
here's,
again?
Here's the difference between her and Dulce. Your sister has no respect for the consequences stuff. Because what the stories that Dulce is saying, like she told the guy, no, I don't need you to talk to him because she knows what the fallout is going to be. And she knows that it's not going to be worth that for her or for anyone involved.
Because I told him I can handle it.
Right.
When I can't handle it,
I'm going to let you know. Exactly.
Then I'm going to let you handle it. Also, the nigga was on probation. I don't need him going back to jail because the nigga hugging me too much.
Even if he wasn't on probation, now he's in this mix for this. Right. It don't even make no sense.
But what I can say also about your sister.
Hmm. You let me tell you something. You can say whatever you want to say about
that bitch. There's not going to be anything that you can say.
There will be no blowback about that.
What you might not have thought about is sometimes you need a nigga to know I can send somebody over here.
She's not that smart. Fair enough. But she's not that smart. It's so. I can get tell you, it's so reckless.
Because you want to. Because like honestly, what one of the hard is like, because you want to know just as a person, you got backup.
Look, my younger sister would go. Some shit would go, and I would hear about it, and I was like, "Yo, you need me to handle it?" And she would be like, "No, I got it." Now when she called me, she knew what it was. Remember Dawn, this chick I used to date. She big old Instagram booty, right? Little ass, just like ridiculous. People would stop in the street and follow her home. Snowing
not
out.
As fun as you think it is.
Well, it was for me.
You gotta understand, Dante's a man with his own face on his Jeep, so it's a little bit different for Dante than it is for everybody else.
As someone who has been followed home, it's not always great.
Oh, right. So these dudes tried to talk to her. They couldn't talk to her. She put her headphones on, kept her head. They threw snowballs at her, mm-hmm. right? So she comes in, she's crying. She's like, they were throwing snowballs on me because I wouldn't talk. Right? So I start lacing the boots up. I'm going up the block, right? Yeah. My mom is in the house. My mom goes, no to me. No, don't go. I don't want you to go. So my mom says, look, if you didn't want him to go, you should have wiped them tears outside the door. Don't come. My mom was like, this is happening.
Don't come in here with that.
This is going down. You came in with tears. This right here is happening.
Dante does catch and release. Like, Dante, yeah.
There was stuff that niggas had said to me. Like, I knew that there was times where, like, you know, I'd had some nigga in Atlanta who was saying ridiculous shit to me, another comic who, of course, has quit and is not successful. But, I mean, just a little shade is fine. But... there were times I was talking to my homegirl, and I was just like, yo, this nigga got one more time to say something to me, and I will have a nigga from Athens here, and please let me call him. Please let me call him. But there's plenty of times where people just keep trying you and trying you and trying you and trying you to the point where you're disrespectful.
You have to know the consequence when you put somebody on somebody. Look, you're... You know, I personally think about the times that my freedom, you know, I was younger, but that mm-hmm. my freedom was on the line.
Because, right.
You know, and even the dude at the Staten Island Ferry, the dude was an ex-con. He had a business. I knew he was packing. It's like you go in that situation, you got to be ready to go in that situation and ready for the consequences that come.
Right.
And so if you were a chick that doesn't respect the power that she has to point it out, like my mom was like, listen, you don't want him going out. You make sure he asks you if everything's all right. If it ain't that bad, you protect him. You protect his freedom because that's what's at stake.
But some chicks like to see their man jumping on people. But it's like, you have to understand you have a fucking pit bull in your hands. If that's the kind of dude you're with, you have a fucking pit bull in your hand.
Right.
You can't keep sicking this man on people. No. One, somebody's he's
gonna
hurting put him people.
Down. And somebody's going to put him down.
Eventually. Somebody's going to put him down or you're going to get him locked up. You are responsible because you know.
Yeah.
That he cares about you enough to put his personal freedom at risk,
yeah.
Then you are responsible for your actions in reference to him.
The problem,
quit sticking this nigga on people.
The problem is some girls are using that as validation. So they feel love because that man is protecting them.
For me.
He'll do this for me, but they're completely disregarding the consequences and the problems that will
follow. But some dudes also use that as a way to show love. Some dudes always want to be in a nigga's face.
Absolutely.
Talking about, oh, you talking to my girl? You talking to my girl? I was like, he was taking her order. Why are you in this waiter's face? What is wrong with you?
What'd you say, Dre?
Some niggas could just not do that. You got to be wiser. If you can see that you getting so-called sicked on somebody for the third time this week, you got to stop and go, maybe I shouldn't be beating people. Like, have a fucking moment of using your damn brain. Yeah, but you can't.
Everybody don't necessarily think like that. It becomes cyclical of the way that they do things. Like, you know, we won't name the name, but we were talking about that the other day. A particular individual just so toxic, doesn't even have the ability to perceive that they're so parasitic. In terms of
Todd Lynn, I thought he died.
Well, he's dead
several years ago.
But everybody don't have that insight, that self awareness to know that. And when you have two people that are on a fundamental level, both toxic, neither one of them are present. They're just feeding off of that energy. And even though that energy is. It feels good because it's exciting and it's up and down and it feels powerful and then weak and then, you know, it's like a roller coaster. But you gotta have the maturity to go, this is unsustainable. I'm
not somebody that likes, right. It's not sustainable because I dated a dude in college who, you know, if we'd be talking for a while and hear from him, be like, yo, nigga, what's up? Like, what do you, because he was like breadcrumbing me where he'd give me a little bit, just enough. And I'm just like, yo, nigga, what's the deal? I could be talking to somebody else. What do you want? What's happening right now?
Yeah.
And so he hit me back and he was just like, oh, yeah, I saw that you was upset. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I should have to. I asked someone, I was like, how come whenever I get annoyed or upset, that's when you react to stuff? And he was like, well, you know, you being real angry like that just shows me that, you know, you care. And I was like, how the fuck did you grow up? He was like, what do you mean? I said, that's not a healthy way to have a relationship.
Well, you say, what would you say your...
I can't hear you, Dante.
Are you petty? Like, what's your thing that you have to work on? Like, what is the thing that you go, that you know when you fucking up?
I think the time that I rolled in that nigga's house and told him that my...
Come on, she told multiple stories of pettiness, and you're going to be like...
No. That was just what that one nigga was showing up unannounced. And you know, and telling the nigga,
that person later on quit, failed, successful. like a month.
Listen, well, we all know a bunch of motherfuckers that we're happy that we found out they dropped off.
I'm not saying she's wrong. I'm saying Dante not paying attention.
Making a point.
I was just delivering the news as it should be. I was just giving you backstory and context.
Accurate information, yes.
Right, that a bitch nigga that wasn't going to never have a career was fucking with your girl. Yes. I thought I was gonna have to stick my nigga on him, but come to find out, the Lord took care of it. Jesus. So, and I'm sure he's somewhere living a mediocre fucking life, but that's none of my business. That's none of my concern. I think sometimes it's
you got a
I
Redbox
have.
Subscription.
What'd you say?
I said you got a Redbox subscription. Ain't nobody cool with a Redbox, nigga.
No, this nigga's out here, you know, with a VCR and shit, trying to make bootleg tapes. Like, nigga, don't nobody even. He's out here trying to sell his mixtape on CDs. Like, nigga, I don't know about a CD player no more. Calm down. But, like, you know, I've been in a relationship. Like, I had a dude that we broke up, and he started following me around. He showed up at my homeboy's house at 3 a.m. Like, I've had situations where, because I'm not a cop caller, regardless. I'm not a fucking cop caller. Well, you know
what? Here's the crazy thing. I was just talking to somebody about that today, and because I was talking to some white girl, and she was talking about how she admires white black girls so much because they're just so strong. And I said that black women in general don't call the cops for the most because you know that motherfucker could die.
But also the cops could kill me. That right, girl who had a restraining order on her boyfriend, the nigga showed up at her house. She shot a gun into the air and they're going to give her 50 fucking years for shooting a gun in the fucking air to protect herself because this nigga wouldn't follow a restraining order. So not only could me calling the fucking cops get this nigga fucked up, it could get me fucked up. But after the third time you show up to my house, after you show up to my homeboy's house in the middle of the night, I was at Papa's house.
You gotta make a call.
after you follow me to fucking two different shows in the same night, after I've seen you punch a fucking wall and act fucking ignorant, my mother had to talk to you to tell you to stop coming from my house. I'm calling DeKalb County. Get the fuck off my property. You beat me to my house when I was coming home.
Here's what's crazy. The simple fact that black women in general have to filter that through their own living experience of how black people are treated in law enforcement, even for her own safety.
Yes.
She has to create for her own safety. I'm not gonna call the cops. I'm not snitching on this nigga because what are they gonna do but lock another black dude up or destroy his life? And so the pressure of all of that being on you as a black man, was just talk about this today. It's like, you have no idea. I mean, there's sexual assaults, plenty sexual assaults that happened that because it was a famous black dude and assisted him. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's scally bitches that got, you know, that the on the setup, but a lot of sisters, I know this Cuba Gooding shit, I know a chick I used to date that...
Wait, what did Cuba Gooding Jr. do? Where have I been? Did this just happen? Boy.
Don't hit Google.
Don't hit really?
Google. You're a fan of
Snow Dogs.
Nah, this was a while. This has been going on. This was going on before COVID.
When he was telling somebody to suck that baby's dick in the club,
I did hear him do some fugazi.
Nah, but he had a bunch of
baby's dick. Suck that baby's dick.
Why was he like doing that? I didn't even know. I know he had a bunch of sexual assault charges. He got caught up in some Me Too shit.
Uh oh.
Honestly,
he finger popped on the, like forced finger popped her on the dance floor. So, you know, like she was like, you know, I didn't. Boom, boom, you know, like, and just, so if he was doing it, because here's the thing, when a dude does that, it ain't one, you don't just have one, it's like kid fuckers, you don't just fuck one, it's like potato chips, you gotta just keep eating. The kid
that was R. Kelly's legal defense, wasn't it?
Well, the potato chips.
Yeah, they're like, you can't just have one, Your Honor.
They just played the Lay's commercial.
Yeah.
No, the Pringles commercial. No, it's yeah, like niggas just do wild shit, and it's just like when you see all of this shit, and it's just like, because when the Me Too shit came out, I said Me Too because I have been assaulted.
Of course.
But because honestly, I don't know a single woman who hasn't been.
Right.
And so for me, I get annoyed because it's just like, we spend all of this money on fucking, you've got self-defense classes and pepper spray and tasers and batons and shit I put on my keys and all this and all these different things that I have to learn to protect myself as a woman. But when a woman comes out and says that she was assaulted, everybody acts like she's fucking lying. But then why is there mace, pepper spray, shit on my keys, all this other shit? So instead of saying, so the whole time it's always set up to foreign women, don't be in this situation. Don't be here. Don't be here. When people don't realize a majority of the time, if a woman is assaulted, it's somebody she knows. It's not somebody sneaking out of the fucking bushes.
Absolutely. Don't say, hold on. We're gonna break. How you want to do this, Harry? We're going to break and then just continue. What do you want to do, Harry?
Yeah, we'll continue. Just we're going to continue over at Patreon, everybody. We're going to close this one out, and you can join us. But let's do plugs over here on the regular show.
Dulcie, what do you want to plug, babe?
When does this come out?
Probably next week. Probably next Tuesday.
Okay, so on November 13th, it'll be before then? Yes.
It should be before then.
On November 13th, I have a movie I'm in called Chick Fight that's coming out in theaters. Yeah. And
Where can you see that? In
theaters and on demand.
Okay.
So it's me, Malin Ackerman, Fortune Femster, Bella Thorne, and Alec Baldwin. And then I have a podcast that Andre and Dante need to do called That Black Ass Show.
Let's do it. Whenever you let me know.
Definitely. Where you talk about black TV shows or plays. So me and Baron Vaughn talked about Robert Townsend. Me and Miss Pat talked about the movie Life. So, and then I got the cartoon called The Great North that's coming out in February on Fox. Nice.
Congrats, babe. Congrats. Dope.
It's working.
Dre, talk to me.
Yo, Andre D. Thompson on everything.
Everything.
Podcast.
You gonna talk into the microphone so we can hear you,
Andre D. Thompson? Later.
All right. Good to see you, man.
Love you all.
All right. Have a good day. All right. Everything good with you. Harry, you want to talk?
You can go to my website, ihatecomedy.com. That's where
all
my...
Are you leaving? Is this nigga really going?
Yeah, I got to go to Staten Island. I got a show.
He got a show.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, in came Staten late, Island. Left early. Okay.
My bad. I suck. I'm sorry.
When you go to Staten Island, drive past Big Ange's mural and say what's up for me.
I got you. Rest in peace, Big Ange.
And also, if you could run over some of those Trump 2020 signs, there's plenty of them out there in Staten Island. You could just turn the wheel slightly to the right and slam through them. That would just be really helpful.
Knock a few down.
Yeah, just for fun. They're going to try to keep them out there for a while, but don't let them. At Harry Turjanian is all my social media. And also check out the YouTube page for this channel, and also Manschool 202, and the Instagram page, Real Manschool 202. There's a lot of good stuff. We need more followers and stuff. And of course, the Patreon, where we're going to continue over here. We're going to have a little bit of bonus time with Dulce, and we're going to talk just more stuff, more technique, more junk. You could join us over at Patreon, patreon.com/Manschool202. We appreciate each and every one of you who supports us. It's really amazing that you guys have our back like that. You guys and girls.
Yeah. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. I love y'all. We are out, or we'll be on the Patreon side. So sign up for that if y'all want to get the bonus. How you want to do this? You want to...
One second. Just give me one.
Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero. Hosted by Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.